Like I say at the beginning of all my support meetings, I am a nerd. I have a favorite comic artist and writer and can give you an in-depth reason why I've chosen them. I write poetry. I perform said poetry in public. I've even done a couple of low-level national tours with other poets. I spent several years working at a Renaissance fair. For the most part, I liked it. I am a nerd. I am also incredibly attracted to nerds. Sure, the Midwestern farm boy look is kind of hot, and who can resist a buff surfer boy, but give me mussy hair, glasses, and an IQ high enough to bake bread at, and I am in love. And if they're multilingual. So in 2003, I was staying at a convention in Chicago. A friend of mine and I were staying at a hostel to cut down on the cost of the convention. It was the middle of August, and the hostel had no air conditioning, and the free fans that they supplied didn't work very well. So, we made plans to crash on the hotel room floors of other convention-goers if the opportunity arose. Why was I not whoring? Did I have a boyfriend? An STD? A sudden attack of morals? Hells no! But in the 5 years I've been attending this convention, I had never had the opportunity to stretch latex. Shit, I'd never even been kissed by someone that I had a desire to be kissed by. During the first day of the convention, an acquaintance named Celeste reintroduced me to one of her gay friends. He was a hottie. Very punk nerd, huge anime hair. I'd met him the year before and developed a mini crush until I caught him making out with the other redheaded poet from Boston, Jeff. Note, I didn't stop crushing on him because he was making out with Jeff. The crush stopped when Jeff told me that anime hair was a terrible kisser. At any rate, I spent some quality time hanging with anime hair and Celeste and decided he was a likable guy, but I refused to go all crush woozy. I was, in fact, chasing after a cute, frustratingly straight attention whore who knew I had a crush on him. At the end of the night, some friends and I ended up at the main hotel drinking and belching words in the hotel room that contained, among other people, anime hair. As far as I could tell, no sparks were flying. Most of the cute gays had left to watch a couple of bisexual girls make out in another room. Over the course of the night, I had tried to get blitzed. Alas, I have a high tolerance for alcohol and no love of beer, so getting blitzed can be expensive, even when anime hair's very generous roommates started circulating some very unkind bud. Eventually, though, jet lag, lack of sleep, alcohol, marijuana, and social interactions made me dizzy, so when anime hair took my hostel room key and slid it into his pocket, I was confused. Fairly soon after he took my key, his roommates decided that 4:28 in the morning was a good time to get some shut-eye, so I asked anime hair if he was coming to the hostel with me. He looked as confused as I was and said, "Sure?" We took an uneventful cab ride from hotel to hostel. We shot some shit and coy glances at each other. When we reached the hostel, he said, "Well, I'd better be getting back to the hotel. I'll see you tomorrow." "But," I stammered as I fiddled with the door handle, "you have my room key." "Huh?" "My room key. You took my room key out of my hands back in your hotel room." I pulled the key out of his pocket. "See?"
"Oh, I'll come with you then."
It made sense at the time, really. As I stepped from the cab, I tripped a bit, and my canvas bag dropped to the pavement, spilling all my belongings. While I was collecting the books and papers, anime hair was snickering at me. "What?
Pro-gain shampoo?"
I turned as crimson as my hair. It's a preemptive strike against impending baldness. He laughed some more. We went up to my room. I remembered that my roommate had crashed back at the hotel, so we had the room to ourselves. I'll spare you the coy boy flirtation ordeal and cut to the chase. He started talking about his boyfriend back home. Having previously learned my lesson regarding boys with boyfriends, I terminated flirtation. Or so I thought. anime hair was spread out on my roommate's bed, which my roommate actually didn't sleep on for the entire week. After every other sentence or so, he'd give me this incredibly flirtatious smirk. Finally, I could bear it no longer. If you've got a boyfriend, why do you keep looking at me like that? 'Cause, hon, your dick is hanging out of your boxers. Brandon had an asshole like the tunnel between France and England. And his cock was so large, it once beat Yao Ming in a slam dunk contest. All of those racist assholes that say Asians have rice dicks should have to spend at least 10 minutes of their lives on the receiving end of Brandon's penis. Surprisingly, his anatomy was not the reason I wouldn't sleep with him, nor was it the vague smell of fried onion that hovered around him. I wouldn't sleep with Brandon because of his tongue ring. There are some people in the world blessed with the talent to give head, kiss, lick nipple, whatever. If these people would like to stab a piece of steel through their lip, tongue, uvula, whatever, before they kiss, blow, rim, lick, whatever me, they can feel free. But if you kiss like a dachshund with emphysema, for the love of all that is horny, you keep your steel balls in your own germ-infested mouth. Pre-piercing, Brandon once kiss-raped me while we were watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I was totally into John Ritter's performance as a freakazoid android when out of nowhere, a tongue still coated with butter and salt from the handfuls of popcorn he hadn't even finished swallowing yet, suddenly started trying to pry my lips apart. Because Brandon was cute, and I'm a huge slut, I opened my lips for him and allowed him to continue the assault. After 5 seconds, he pulled away and smiled at me. I said in my best deadpan, "Don't ever do that again, please." For 2 months, he didn't do that again. I only saw him naked because we went skinny dipping with his girlfriend one Saturday night when they were drunk, and I was bored. Then, during a drive home from work, he waggled his newly pierced tongue at me.
"What do you think?"
"Did they kill it?" I asked, hoping the answer was yes.
"No. Ever kissed a guy with a tongue ring before?"
The answer was yes. But I knew he wasn't going to give up this obvious plea for attention until I let him kiss me with his new tongue ring, so I said, "No." And before he could get out his lame,
"Do you want to
come online?" I reached over and initiated kissage. Have you ever had faux steel slam against teeth on both sides of your mouth? It's not sexy. He pulled the car over to the side of the road and began reaching for my zipper. Knowing where this was going, I reached for the door handle. I would rather walk a mile home in 7 feet of elephant piss and razor blades than have his barbell permanently imprinted on my nutsack, or worse, stabbed through my pee hole. After I invented an imaginary closeted boyfriend who I swore to be faithful to, Brandon was very cool about not doing anything more affectionate than squeezing my ass when we hugged. And that's something I'll never have a problem with.
I said what in the butt. 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 You wanna do it in my butt? In my butt, you want to do it in my butt? In my butt, you want to do it in my butt? In my butt?
Let's Saint claims he came to Boston because he missed me, and we hadn't hung out in a couple of years. I believe his visit had more to do with Queen Sarah Popular I kicking him out of her apartment, and him not wanting to move back in with his mother just yet. Whatever the reason, I am mostly grateful for his company. It's been a long set of months since I got back from era-fucking-zona. I've started picking up shifts at Kookaburra Canyon again. I've moved back in with Wiz and D. I've been avoided by David, called by David, confused by David. I've even seen David see me, see Brandon, and spiral and spiral and spiral. I've started spending more time with Celeste and her boyfriend, Trick. Even Mortimer Velociraptor spent some time sleeping on my couch. Mortimer had been staying with me for about a week when the object of his affection breezed into town. I wasn't a huge fan. I'd seen the way this guy had treated Morty, and it felt Elvis-y to me. But, as it was none of my business, I smiled and made conversation with him. Our apartment was not really going to be an appropriate place for them to hook up. Wiz and Dee had a 5-year-old kid, all of the bedrooms were taken, and I knew just enough about Mortimer's sex life to know that I did not want to walk in on him having some sort of sex on the couch. Celeste came to the rescue.
"Hey, dude," she said. "So, Morty's going to stay at my place. Can his friend stay with you?"
"Ugh. Sure," I said.
"Thanks, dude."
She straightened the red stripe in her bangs.
"We may end up drinking the whole night at my place, but if he needs to crash, we'll just drive him over to your place then."
"Sure," I said. "Morty's got the spare key." I went on with my usual routine, checking live journal, eating unhealthy food, and making playlists for my Zune, while Celeste, Trick, Morty, and his dude did whatever it was they were supposed to be doing. At around 3 o'clock, I heard the key turn in the lock.
"Hey,"
said whatever his name is. Hey, how was Celeste's?" He smiled the recently fucked smile.
"Awesome."
Then he collapsed on the couch. Fair enough. I went back to checking email and saw a message from Celeste.
"Hey, dude, had a great party at my house tonight. You should have come. I took some pictures and put them in a locked live journal post. Only you and I can see them. Nothing scandalous, though. Just fun."
So I clicked my way over to... "Holy shit!" I yelled. Whatever his name is shot up on the couch.
"Dude?"
I turned the monitor off. "Sorry, I, fell asleep and startled myself awake. Sorry." The picture had been... whatever his name is, baby naked, turtling on his stomach as Mortimer put a diaper on him. Not scandalous, just fun. Celeste and I were going to have a serious glare off the next time I saw her.
"Your friends," Saint said when I relayed the story to him, "are ridiculous."
"I am very aware of that," I said.
"The situations you get yourself into, I swear you make half this shit up."
I shrugged. Saint rested his head on my shoulder.
"You've been very touchy-feely this week for a straight guy," I said. He looked at me.
Uh-oh. He looked at me like I was a buttery appetizer.
Yeah, well?
I asked.
"I'm in a rough patch," he said, sliding his hands down the front of his pants.
This was not entirely unnormal. He'd always been sexual and always a tease, but he has never been interested in me, and he's certainly not interested in the things that I'd be interested in doing to him. "Dude, Sarah kicked you out less than a week ago." He frowned.
"Yeah, but we weren't having sex."
"You weren't?" I asked.
"No, not since."
I filled the silence with "since."
"Okay, I know that this is going to sound completely ridiculous," he said. "Like, in safe mode, journals ridiculous."
I sighed. I should have never shown him my blog.
"But, okay. I haven't orgasmed in 4
years? Bullshit, I said. When you were living with me in Cranberry Lake, I heard you jerk off at least twice a day. If you stopped for 4 years, your testicles would be the size of an elephant's head, he interrupted, cupping his hands on his balls. Why are you telling me this? I asked. You just got done telling me about one of your friends sending you pictures of two of your other friends pissing themselves in diapers. I'm not the weird one here. Which was moderately accurate. I'm not asking you to blow me or anything. I'm just making conversation. Okay, I said, but I was once again a buttery appetizer, and maybe we'll make out a little bit. No, I said, if your tongue comes anywhere near me, I'm sticking my cock up your ass. Saint gagged on this bluff. See, Saint is definitely straight. He'd fucked both Queen Sarah the Populars in and after high school. He'd even managed to nail Buffy the Au Pair before the creepy guy in the X-Files t-shirt showed up. Sure, he'd gotten really drunk while we worked together at the fair and made out a little bit, but he couldn't have been. Absolutely no way was he in the slightest bit. God damn it, you can't be serious, even gay. Okay, a little bi, but we made out on a dare. He sometimes kissed me when he was drunk, but it was clearly to torture me, not for his own gratification. I can, in the most optimistic portion of my heart, imagine him getting drunk and letting some guy suck his dick. But the possibility of Saint having anal sex is nil. Her desire to have anal was why he ended up dumping that freak Queen Sarah Popular II. He was absolutely petrified of the very existence of anal sex. He had no problem with two guys getting off together, but the very idea of any part of a person's body coming into any sort of contact with another person's ass repelled him. Didn't matter if the ass belonged to a male human, a female human, or a transgendered platypus, ass was not an appropriate place for any kind of penetration. Jerk, he said. Are you calling me names or making a request? I asked. He leaned towards my ear and whispered, I really need to come. I matched his phone sex operator tone. So, jerk off. I can't. I gave him the velociraptor look. You can't even jerk off. No, he said. Why? If I tell you something, do you promise not to blog about it? Okay, I said, deciding that a month was a good statute of limitations in this scenario. So, 4 years ago, I bought a porn DVD for the first time. One of those fancy deals with the multiple angles, chapter selection, and no unnecessary plot line, just really classy, really beautiful women getting fucked. And this was detrimental because he pushed me away with his head and then pulled me back with his arms. I watched it for at least 6 hours. I must have come like 12 times. If this story involves chafing, I said, I'm sending you over to Celeste and telling her you want to pose for her diaper photographs. He stuck his tongue out at me. Chafing? Please. I used to be a professional wanker. I never start without lotion. All right then, I said. What happened? I turned off the DVD player and the news was on. He stared at me. Oh, God, I said. Nothing kills an erection like Ted Koppel. Well, maybe Dan Rather or Connie Chung. Actually, it was Katie Couric. Really? I asked. I thought she'd totally be your type.
He said, "The first thing I saw when I turned off the TV was the plane flying into the tower."
Oh my God.
I feel like if I hadn't been jerking off, maybe the towers wouldn't have fallen.
It was my turn to gag. What?
What if the next time I jerk off, he looked at me, completely sincere, Mount St. Helen erupts or a meteor strikes a Washington, D.C.
A volcano eruption, I snorted, would be tragic, but I think the nation would owe you a huge debt if you single-handedly, he smiled a bit, I like to use both hands, okay, if you double-fistedly wiped out Washington, D.C. He laughed. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have brought this up.
It appears to have brought other things up as well, I said, casting a glance at his crotch.
So, buttery appetizer number three.
So, is this actually going to happen?
So, his face appeared to be on its final approach into mine.
This has been a long time coming.
I thought the problem was that it's been a long time of you not coming, I said.
Shut up, he said. And then he used his mouth to do precisely that.
All My Exes Live in Sex Flicks, The Loop, Part 5, etc., 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 Ram, was brought to you by the unnecessary declension of nouns and the unnecessary dementia of clowns, as well as Progain shampoo, terrible tongue rings, and the Truther Movement. The intro music for this episode was a song from Revenge of the Nerds that they did. I didn't get to the lyric part, and I don't know what the title is. But the incidental music was The Geeks Were Right by The Faint. And What, parenthetical phrase, In the Butt by Samwell. The outro music playing right now is Shut Your Mouth by Garbage. For more information on this podcast, my writings, and other things that I do, you should check out www.crookedtreehouse.com. Or you could email me at insafemode@gmail.com to find out if you are the person who laughed at me for spilling Progain shampoo at the National Poetry Slam in 2003.
I know you're listening!